And the name of the group?
This is the Dixie Daredevils. We work without a net.
And what's that mean?
It's a circus reference, I suppose. It means we're not heavily arranged. Things are liable to change at a moment's notice. The music may go to some places where we had no idea where it was going to go. We like spontaneity.
A lot of improvising.
Yes, improvising even outside of arrangements once in a while. Everybody usually improvises within the arrangements, but a lot of times we will do arrangements while you wait.
And what exactly does that mean, to improvise outside the arrangement? Can you explain that to the layperson?
It's very spontaneous. I mean, the entire group, one person can get an inspiration that's going to take the tune somewhere where normally it might not go, and everybody gets on board and goes with it. And you pretty much have to be good friends to do that. It's kind of a rotten trick, but if you've got good enough players and guys who are willing to do it. So that's why we use the term working without a net. And of course, there's some remarks about that. Annette couldn't make it today and things like that, but a net as opposed to Annette, you know.
So are you with good friends today? Will that allow you to perform without Annette?
These are the best of friends. This whole group is real good friends, been playing together in various combinations. I mean, break it down into duo, trio, quartet. Today we've got, I didn't even count how many guys we got today. I think there's seven of us. These guys been friends. We're anywhere from late 50s to early 70s age-wise. And I'm right in the middle. And these guys have all been playing together in some way, shape, or form since probably they were 20 years old. And they're the best. Everyone is the best of friends, the very best of friends. And everyone has, you know, their own personal lives. And some of these guys have been very successful. Teachers, retired teachers, businessmen, everything. But they've retained this very, very special friendship. And we can't wait to get together and play every time we do. We'd probably do it for nothing, you know.
But it's better to get paid.
It never hurts, but we do it because we love it, you know.
Have you done this for a living, a jazz musician, or have you done other things also to bring in some money?
Oh, I've done other things. Everyone's done other things. You're going to be a very poor man unless your name rolls off of the average person's lips. You're going to be a very poor man devoting your entire life to jazz music, and it's like being an artist also, you know, any kind of artist or writer, unless you're really, really well known, unless you're one of the very fortunate people, you need to augment your income, yes. You know, your heart can still be in your art, but your wallet has to be in the real world.
Jazz, I think, is more popular in Europe than it is in America. Why do you suppose it's not more popular in this country?
That's a good question. If I knew the answer to that, I'd make a lot of money playing jazz. I think there's a... Well, part of it is, you know, we don't have a homogeneous society. So if you go to France, if you go to Germany, you know, Germans or French or Italians or any country you go to, you have a pretty homogeneous society. In this country, it's not homogeneous. And so you have many different smaller styles of music, styles of clothes, styles of bars, everything can be that keeps this country from doing a lot of stupid things, too, though. You know, as a country. So it works as a country, but it makes it harder on maybe things like jazz music or, heck, any kind of music you want to do. I don't think it's hard to make a living playing anything, any kind of music in this country, because, you know, you come to a town like Macomb here, and you have Shiloh's, which has jazz, and then you have some other clubs here that have blues or rock, but it's not predominantly one thing.
Before I started recording, you mentioned you've been to the El Sears Jazz Fest. What is this, your fourth year, I think you said?
This is my fourth trip, yes. I was at the probably the first two with Sally Weisenberg. That was when she brought the pretty good size band. And then I was here last year with my group, the Romaniacs, and then here this year with the Daredevils.
Is there anything about, in particular about this festival that makes it stand apart from other gigs that you do?
I like the people. I like the people that you deal with in Macomb. It's similar to, I've played some other festivals that are similar to this. There was a festival a number of years ago I played in Charleston, Illinois, for which, you know, that's where Eastern Illinois is. Mm-hmm. And it had a feel kind of like this, and there are some festivals in college towns. Well, the Sugar Creek Arts Festival in Bloomington Normal is similar to this, in downtown Normal. That's, you know, just right off the campus of ISU. I like this type of festival. I like it. And coupling it with the Fine Arts Fair, I think, is a brilliant idea, because it creates a very nice atmosphere for people. A lot of people come out who normally may not listen to jazz. Maybe their first exposure. So, to me, that's smart.
What about the name, El Sears? Does that mean anything to you as a jazz musician?
El Sears is not a widely known name. You have to be quite a aficionado of big band jazz and so forth to be really familiar with Al Sears. Of course, you know, they put the good bio in the program, so the average person can the average person in Macomb can have a little bit of pride in the fact that Al Sears was from here. Once they know about his various successes in the music business, you know, he was part of a lot of other things that were very big. He just never got his particular name splashed all over. But there's another case of a great player who probably never made a fortune at it, you know. I don't know how much he made.
Yeah, but at least he did. He's being remembered now. I guess there's something to be said for that.
There's a lot to be said for that. There's a lot to be said for being remembered now. Yeah, it's only right. And fortunately, there are some people that, I don't know who originally got the idea, but it was a great idea.
You mentioned the Gazebo Arts Festival brings out people who might not be familiar with jazz, and so they get exposed to it while they're out here looking at the artwork. What would you tell someone who's not familiar with jazz to listen for?
Hopefully, see what you feel like when exposed to the music. I would tell someone to see what your feelings are, your frame of mind, what it does to your frame of mind. Does it put you in a happy frame of mind? It's a beautiful sunny day today. And a lot of jazz music, especially in the traditional, it's happy. And it's got it's lively beat stuff. it differs from rock in that respect. But it should put you, hopefully it should put you in a relaxed, genteel, happy frame of mind. That's what I'd look for people.
Are you playing the Shilohs tomorrow?
We're playing the brunch, yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned it's a beautiful sunny day out here. Will that influence what you play today versus maybe what you play when you're inside in a restaurant tomorrow?
Maybe a little bit, because you don't, in a smaller venue, being inside, you tailor your choice of music to what's happening around you. If people are eating, you don't want to demand as much of their attention as you do in a concert setting like we're outside today. Okay, you've got people sitting there. They're sitting there doing nothing except watching you perform. So then you have to engage them personally and perform for them and talk to them personally. Whereas when someone is eating and they're conversing with the person across the table and who they're sitting with, you don't want to force yourself into their conversation. You want to provide something to go in their ear while they're eating. So yeah, it does change.
All right. Anything you want to add about playing the El Sears Jazz Festival weekend?
It's an honor. It's a pleasure. It's loads of fun. We're having a ball. All the guys were really looking forward to this. This, like I said, this is my fourth time. I have fallen in love with the festival. I've fallen in love with Macomb. I've made a lot of friends here. I really like this town, and I don't even mind... I don't even mind driving here in home, you know. I look forward to it because I always know when I come here I'm going to have a good time, I'm going to enjoy myself, and I'm well appreciated in this town. Anyone would like that, you know.
You're from Peoria.
Yes.
Are you well appreciated there?
Not as well as I am in Macomb. I'm known, I suppose, but... of course, we have lots of people playing in Peoria, not a lot of places to play, you know. There aren't that many venues, so Macomb has more venues per capita than Peoria, I really think.
All right. Is that a challenge to become well-known, whether it's in Macomb or Peoria or any other place you might play?
You play because you have to, because that's who you are, and you love doing it. And if people start to know you from playing, that's fine. If nobody knows you, you're still going to play because it's who you are and it's what you do. Hopefully, you know, some people know you. You get a little more work, have a little more fun. It's always fun to perform for people. The music does not only belong to the players, it belongs equally to the listeners. And that's something I've learned as I've gotten older. The music is for the listener as much as it's for the player.
And you're finding the audiences in Macomb are getting that, perhaps?
Oh, audiences in Macomb are a lot hipper than you would suspect if you were not familiar with this town. Yes, audiences are great here. They're great. Love it.
Hey, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.